everyone, and welcome back to another episode of My Curiously Queer Life. So last week's episode was intense. It was one of the most terrifying things I have ever had to do to date. Many people have reached out and asked me, what the fuck? How am I doing this without fear of judgment, without fear of embarrassment, shame, all of the above? But to you, I respond with truth. I have spent all my life up until recent worrying about other people's opinions. It was an endeavor that ended me with nothing. I was sad and alone. Anyways, so I had nothing to lose. We often conceal part of ourselves in this life, relegating them to our filthy little closets and burying our struggles deep down into the foundation of who we are. This facade serves no more purpose in my journey. I have no more time for being fake or pretending that I'm okay when I'm not. I don't want to hide things anymore because they make me a bad human, and I want to be a better human. So that is my reason for airing my tea and sharing my dirty laundry with complete strangers. Well, I was seated in my fortress of sorrow, surrounded by my vices, I reached a turning point. There was only one path forward from the abyss of addiction and emptiness. I had to take a solitary walk into the woods, a necessary step forward for my healing in my journey. Society and those around us dictate who we ought to be, not allowing space for change or growth, drowning out our own inner voices. True liberation comes from understanding and embracing our authenticity, even if it means standing alone. I'm not recommending this road to any of you. That is not my purpose. And if I'm being honest, sometimes it's a hard walk. It was what I needed to clear away my shadows and illuminate a path forward for me. There will always be shadows, but they give context to the glow. And now I have the power to look at my shadows and not be afraid of them. Like I've said before, my choice isn't born of loneliness. It's born of empowerment and change. I navigate life on my terms, extending a helping hand while preserving moments of solitude for rejuvenation. I don't suggest that people run around abandoning their loved ones and closing doors to the people around you, because that is not... It's what I did. It's what worked for me. It's how I found peace. I just don't want that to be the part of the story that everyone takes, is just to shut yourself off and that's the win, because it's not the win. Humans are meant to be connected, and maybe some of us were just meant to help build those connections. I don't know. I'm just moving forward at my pace, in my space, and doing the things that feel right when they feel right. I have been obsessed with this song as of late, and there's many lines in this song that resonate with me. Why would I listen to it so obsessively? But this next line is part of the song that really shines a light on last week's episode and everything that I am doing and why I'm doing it. And the line goes, You have to conquer the monsters in your head, and then you will fly. Go bury those demons, then tear down the ceilings. I am demolishing barriers, tearing down the walls and constructing a new foundation. I am creating a magnificent narrative that all can be part of. Embracing the unfamiliar, I forge ahead with a light heart and a buoyant spirit. I am Joviant. I am grateful for everything that has happened in my life, even those super sad and dark moments. I am grateful for everything, the bad. I am able to sit in this moment and talk about it, but you have to understand that this moment wouldn't exist. I wouldn't be able to find truth and happiness if I didn't have to walk through those things. And I know in the last episode, I said it was so hard getting here, but I am so grateful to be here. So that is the end of my opening this week. I am not sure what I was going to call this episode. I read it a few times and I was hoping that a title would pop out, but it didn't. So I guess let's call this episode 10, The Space in Between. Life was never the same after my first time. The allure of drinking, sex, and drugs transformed into a dangerously captivating pastime. The ongoing debate between good and evil brought to light the contrasting powers they offered. The allure of evil bestowed a swift and fleeting sense of power.
You will be enlightened as we are, and you will know all about good and evil.
Its imminent gratification was all-consuming, particularly for a young individual. The illusion of dominion I weighed over those around me, particularly men, was truly empowering. Mastering the art of manipulation became a skill I quickly honed. A profound anger towards men fueled me, finding gratification and exerting control over them. The paradoxical nature of possessing power when feeling utterly desolate inside reveals the steep price paid to harness such influence from the depths of the darkness.
He will kill you now. Look what he did to me.
What have we done?
There is a big chunk of my life I remember, but I don't remember having any feeling or anything. I just remember being there, like watching myself do these things and having no feeling towards it. Being an openly gay male was gradually becoming more accepted, perhaps even fashionable during those times. I recall a moment when a friend asked me, "Are you genuinely gay or is it just a trendy statement you like to make?" The absurdity of such a question struck me, especially considering the significant hostility I had faced from those around me. Despite my inner turmoil, I adeptly masked my pain and projected confidence outwardly, embracing the popularity I longed for.
See, this is the color I want.
This is Damien. He's almost too gay to function.
Unfortunately, this newfound status came with strict rules I had to uphold to secure my place in the cool crowd.
First rule.
First rule.
Rule number one.
First rule.
First rule of Splinter Group. You do not talk about Splinter Group.
Rule number one. I must laugh along with all the derogatory jokes concerning me or my sexuality, showing indifference to their hurtful nature. Rule number two, a complete silence regarding any intimate details with men, a subject deemed too perverse for the villagers, and they would surely chase me out of town by pitchfork and fire. And rule number three, and this was an extremely delicate balance, avoid appearing excessively gay to prevent anger or physical harm. all while maintaining a certain degree of effeminate charm to reassure the men around me that their females were safe. I was not to threaten their hunt.
Get back.
The pressure to conform to the expectations of the cool crowd weighed heavily on me. It demanded participation in drinking, drug use, and the performance of a stereotypical gay man. In my quest for acceptance and belonging, I convinced myself that these actions were necessary, while a deeper longing for authenticity and genuine connection was pushed away. Alcohol emerged as my ally, granting me the fortitude to unapologetically embrace my gay identity amidst a tumultuous inner battle of self-loathing. Cloaked me in a facade of false confidence, amplifying my wit and social charm, transforming me into the life of the party.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, Kenneth Feld and Nicole Feld are proud to present.
In those moments of intoxication, I found solace in my altered state. Embracing a fleeted affinity for myself and gathering increased favor from others. It's funny when you do drugs and addiction, and I feel like people don't understand it if they haven't been in it. And I am only speaking for myself and others that I've talked to, but it is not necessarily doing the drugs that is exciting. It is the space where there's nothing, where you don't have to think or feel, or you gain this extra level of confidence from it. For me personally, it was a way to silence my mind. So I didn't have to care that I was being so deeply respected in the majority of my life by the majority of people around me. And I have had people in my life that have loved me greatly, but the majority have been cruel, disrespectful, and just not kind. So you do drugs, you forget, and you don't care. If you want to get down on the ground. With the inevitable introduction of cocaine and other substances, they only heightened my sense of artificial empowerment. I felt invincible, wielding a potent influence that seemed to bend the world to my whims.
Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology.
Those who once spewed hatred and slurs now clamored for my attention, a twisted form of validation that fed my budding ego. Unaware and moving full speed ahead, this marked the onset of an indescribable phase, a journey I now recognize as the dark night of the soul. A term coined by the 16th century poet St. John of the Cross. This term has resurged in contemporary discourse to characterize a period of darkness and profound inner sadness where faith dwindles, leaving the individual as mere hollow vessels drifting aimlessly through life. Many of the mentors I sought guidance from have recounted their own encounters with this desolate state. The poem penned by St. John of the Cross delves into the theme and offers valuable insight, and it's worth exploring.
We need more understanding of human nature, because the only real danger that exists is man himself. He is the great danger.
The allure of that life persisted for a couple years, until my sense of self slowly crept back in. Or perhaps the world around me grew weary of me, grew tired of my antics, grew bored of my charm. It dawned on me that change was imperative. The choice was made to relocate to Alberta, where my pregnant sister and her boyfriend resided, paving the way for a fresh chapter in my life. But Those details are for next week's story.
Oh, the prairie lights are burning bright. Chinook wind is moving in. Tomorrow night I'll be Alberta bound.
I have said this already, and I will probably say it a million more times. I became someone else after that moment, someone who didn't care at all and needed to forget. And the more I walk through life not caring and trying to forget, the more shit I allowed into my life, the more I unknowingly gave the people around me permission to act shitty towards me, and I just kept falling deeper and deeper into the darkness. That being said, people around me being shitty, my shortcomings are not an excuse for people to be shitty to me. Even now, I move through life and I realize that when people are shitty to me, that is not my fault. It is not my problem. And it is not something that I take in anymore and move forward with. We need to start looking at how we treat the world and start asking the question, why? We all need to heal, and we need to be better humans. So that is it for this week. Like always, fill your tanks with joy, love, and kindness. And when you feel that tank just about to spill over, you take all that extra and you put it on the people around you. My name is Thomas St. James, and this is My Curiously Queer Life.